Blog Talk Radio.
He took an oath to defend the Constitution of the United States of America. By some, he's been called controversial.
I'll keep my freedom. I'll keep my guns. Try to keep my money and my religion too.
Now, keep in mind that some of my guests have been approached by Homeland Security or FBI saying, why are you going on the Clay Douglas show?
My message to those guys, if they're listening this morning, is go get a cup of coffee. Maybe you'll learn something.
We both took the same oath, you know, to defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. I don't recall there being an expiration date on that.
I'm going to keep my big BA, keep my friends the same, keep the government out of my business, and y'all can keep the change.
He is the free American, Clay Douglas.
We know what we need. We know who to blame.
Catch the Free American Hour, weekdays at 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern.
I'll keep the...
And that would be now. And I am Clay Douglas, and my guest is John Kaminsky today. And, let me repeat that. Yes, I am Clay Douglas, and my guest is John Kaminsky. Hi, John.
Good morning, Clay.
Now we're recording in every channel, and Happy New Year to you.
Thank you very much. This is going to be a momentous year.
Well, let's see. We're according to the ancient Mayan calendar, you know, that we've been quoting here for a few hundred years, it's the end of the world as we know it.
According to our President of the United States, you're dead meat.
That is true. He just signed that bill in, and now if and maybe I've been rightfully accused from some time, you know, of being a little bit belligerent. I am 6'4". You know, I do have a very short temper. And by the way, do you know what the greatest thing about being a bachelor and a 6'4" bachelor is?
Tell me.
I can pee in the sink while I'm pouring my coffee, you know?
Way to appeal to the upper crust, Clayton.
Yes, I try to. But, you know, come on, guys. I think the problem that we've really got, John, is that we've forgot how to enjoy the battle. I mean, we've been fighting tyranny for 6,000 years or more, thousands of years, easily. And what's changed? I mean, isn't this what's happening now? We predicted. I predicted. I mean, I put my film out, True Face of FEMA, 10 years ago. And had Colonel John Brinkerhoff lecturing law enforcement, telling them, man, in case of a natural disaster, a single outbreak of smallpox, a nuclear bomb going off somewhere, we'll need 400,000 well-armed, well-trained, organized, disciplined troops to control the American people. Who the hell was he talking about? They asked him if he was talking about the National Guard. He said no. But now... they could bring in anybody's military, and they're talking about this with Canada, and this has happened with Mexico. They're bringing in the military here.
It's the private guys in the black vans that we got to worry about. They're not in the army officially. They're these Blackwater contractors who the very richest among us employ them because they're the most reliable, because they're the most deadly and bloodthirsty.
And these are the same people that created so many problems for people over in Iraq. And I've said that Iraq was like a training ground for our troops to bring them back here into our neighborhoods. I mean, I said this 6 years ago, 8 years ago.
Well, the great thing now is there's a lot more people saying the same thing. I was thinking that people like simple comparisons, so it's really easy to say that there are only two kinds of people in the world, the desperate and the unconscious. And most people prefer to remain unconscious because they don't want to be desperate. But the people who want to live real lives see the threats that are facing them, see the funny little things coming out of their bodies now, see that most of the population has a bronchial infection, sees those ubiquitous lines in the sky every day. I saw a chemtrail the other day that was actually dripping, and wondering why there's an epidemic of Alzheimer's and all of these other diseases.
I did the film Chemtrails, the video, well over 10 years ago, and I followed it. I mean, you know, you could once you see them spraying, you could if you picked up the paper over the next 2 days, there's a flu epidemic.
Yeah, there is. And the epidemic is all those signs at Walgreens saying, get your flu shot now.
Oof. And if you pass up Walgreens, the Safeway next door will have them for you.
They're everywhere. I can't believe I saw a young mother rush in with her children, frantic that she was late for getting her flu shot, and this was at a Walgreens.
Of course, you never hear about what happens from that. But, you know, I don't get flu shots. My sons never got any vaccines. And none of us have ever been sick.
funny how that works. When you listen to the real medical experts, and there's a lot of them talking out there now. I was listening to Nancy Banks talking about vaccines. Dr. Nancy Taylor Banks. None of them are effective. The concept of vaccination is really emblematic of this phony medical system that we have. And when you read Dr. Banks or Eustace Mullins or any of the cutting edge doctors who are selling stuff on the internet now, you realize that you can't trust your doctor, that the only person you can really trust with your own health is yourself, and whatever you eat is going to determine how you live, and no pill that you can take is going to make up for that, because every pill that you can take slowly kills you, because that's the nature of allopathic medicine.
That's right. You know, let's throw in there the poisoning of our water supply with fluoride. I mean, come on, if a truck hauling fluoride had an accident, they would close off the whole highway and evacuate the neighborhood.
And yet most people that we run into, practically everybody we run into, has the attitude that they know what's going on because they watch the news on television. Two of my neighbors, I love them dearly, but we very seldom venture into politics because they just haven't been exposed to the data like we have. So you have to kind of nurture them and baby them along. And we got to talking about presidential candidates, and one of them came out and said, oh, that Ron Paul, he's there to destabilize all the other Republican candidates. And I broke into hysterics.
I'm glad you brought that up. Because one of the things that's on my mind today, I know Ron Paul. Ron Paul was a subscriber of mine. We spoke at the same convention. We've talked to him for years. And the Tea Parties are going after Ron Paul.
Yeah, I noticed that.
So I asked
this guy, who have you been reading to get this information? And, of course, he was ashamed to tell me because he might go on. Mostly TV, but he might go on the internet and read these soft sites like Salon and these Counterpunch and these hip information clearinghouse, these hip Democratic websites that beat around the bush. But what more and more people are coming to realize is we have to talk openly about Jews and Jewish influence, because not to do so guarantees that we won't get to the bottom of anything.
What I don't understand why people can't ask themselves. I mean, first of all, most of these so-called Jews came from Soviet or Russia. They were forced out of here by their own people, by the Jews like Marx and Lenin. They use the elitist Jews, the Jews with the money, the Jews that print the money. They're the ones that are pulling the strings, and they are sacrificing the Jewish people as much as they are sacrificing, you know, our Aryan German-descended people.
Certainly a lot of that is going on, but it's much broader than that, because all of the Christian denominations kind of echo the words of the present Pope, who said the Jews are our elder brothers, which means that he is part of the scam of thinking Jews are insisting that Jews are just another religion. Now, the thing everyone in America and the world needs to know is that there is a reason that the Jewish holy book, the Talmud, is not widely available, and certainly not widely available in an unabridged form with all of its incredible pathological pronouncements in it. And people just think, you know, they have, I've had a lot of Jewish friends in my life. I've seen Jews do a lot of things that were construed as good by a lot of people. And then only much later do you realize that their contribution may have had an ulterior motive to it. And I don't mean to blame that on every Jew on the planet, but there certainly is a lot of that going on. Now, what I'm saying is the people who are Christians and are turning the other cheek and trying genuinely to live up to what their religion tells them to do, which I think among religious people that's a fairly small percentage, because hypocrisy rules all religions for sure. But their religious respect and their willingness to render unto Caesar what is Caesar's results in a paralysis of the population and greatly assists the Jews' purpose to maintain their invisibility and control everything from behind the scenes without anybody knowing about it.
This is exactly what Kennedy warned about in his famous last speech.
Exactly. Exactly. That's a wonderful thing. That needs to be studied by everyone over and over again. I've watched that thing maybe 10 times in the last year. And each time I listen to it, there's a new revelation that comes with it. And each time you watch it, it's like, holy cow, he was telling us exactly what was going on, and we couldn't hear him because we were lost in the media white noise merry-go-round.
It's pretty incredible, you know. Even J. Edgar Hoover kind of gave us that warning, you know that the average man is like stunned to face a conspiracy so great. Matter of fact, I've got a link up, and you're the one that brought it up in the first place about the Neanderthal connection.
I took a look at that. I looked at it a long time. I read Willis Carto's wonderful article and did a shorter version of it and talked to Michael Bradley, who was the chief exponent of it for there to be some Neanderthal connection to the Jews or the Semites. And I eventually cast it aside as... It's another distraction. What we really need to focus on is the American people don't realize that throughout the 20th century, they have just been puppets on Jewish strings. And a number of people have tried to say that over the years, and they've all been killed or blackmailed or whatever. They've been silenced, and the great American patriots like both of the Charles Lindberghs and some of the great congressmen, I'm blanking out on the guy, McFadden, who was on the case of the Federal Reserve during the U.S. bankruptcy in 1933, and they poisoned them. They just killed them.
Yeah, McDonald, too. Paul
Wellstone, who was a Democratic Jew, they killed him because he went too far over the line. And I made a list in my last story of the people who've been bumped off recently. That tax guy who was disappeared in Memphis in a pool of blood. I keep forgetting his name. What's his name? Who got shot in West Memphis parking lot, or supposedly did?
Yeah, he and his son.
Yeah, who is that guy? I forget his name.
I blanked it out, too. I tried to help his wife. She got a little belligerent with me, so I just blanked it out.
Now, it's like there's so many funny stories going on, but there's real stories.
Gordon Call, I mean, and Carl Klang was telling us about Gordon Call and his music. It's great music. He and Dave Von Kleist left the country, and I don't know what's happened to Carl. He hasn't surfaced in a long time.
Oh. Yeah, they scare you to death. Randy Weaver. That's what they do to you. That's what they did to you. That's what they're doing to everybody. It's like people are being disappeared, and now they've made it clear. They've made a formal announcement that the United States government is making war on the American people. That can be the only conclusion when the last of the Constitution has been destroyed, and they can put you in jail and hold you forever without a trial or even letting anybody talk to you.
Well, John, you know, I mean, I get hassled about this a lot. You know, Clay, that could have just been an accident. Yeah, right after, 20 minutes after I had that conversation with my son, and a Jewish company is doing the phone tapping for NASA, Amdocs and one other one, and then they rushed me to the hospital. I fought them all the way, they said. I fought them to get, I didn't want to get on the stretcher, I didn't want to get in the ambulance. I fought them all the way. That sounds pretty active for somebody that's supposedly crippled and brain dead. But then the guy showed up in the hospital. Hey, Clay, you've been hallucinating, Clay. You can thank us. They're CIA. And I don't know if they're CIA. I don't know if they're Mossad. I didn't know if they were the Phoenix gang squad. It doesn't matter. They could have been ADL agents. It doesn't matter. Somebody knew what had been done to me, and I'd already been out of commission. I had been disappeared for 3 months, folks.
I'm about to go off on these guys, Clayton. For Obama to, it's like all of the people who voted for that bill have violated their oaths of office, are guilty of treason, and should be tried, convicted, and executed for treason in time of war. Now, unfortunately, the main enemy of the American people now is its own government. I once said that about newspapers. The main enemy of all newspaper reporters is his own publisher. And we've got that happening. I keep trying to draw the parallels between how religion works and how politics works. And in each of them, or in both of them, we are asked to trust our leaders because we have voted for them, we have adopted their philosophy, and therefore we have to put our ultimate faith in them. And that's a mistake in both religion and in government. We have given up, if we ever had it, our direct connection to control of the government. Voting is a sham. The elections are shams. They're putting on this daytime TV passion play for us, and really nothing is going to come of it, even if Ron Paul wins, because Ron Paul is still a subscriber to that system and thinks the system can be repaired by tinkering with the government and bringing it into accord with the Constitution. Now, the Constitution has a flaw in it that allowed the central bankers, after 100 years of effort, to take over the government, and to conduct an a priori theft of American labor and American riches in the form of the Federal Reserve and taxes and all of the other control mechanisms they put in place 98 years ago. And so all throughout the 20th century, we've been thinking that, wow, America's a great place. It flew across the Atlantic. It went to the moon. It did all these things. And it hasn't been America at all. It's been the international bankers doing all of these things, not certainly for the benefit of anybody but themselves, and in the process turning it's not just the world they've profaned. They've turned the human species into a pile of robot drones who don't even recognize themselves, don't know why they're here, don't know what to do, and are completely helpless in the face of this 360-degree media tyranny that is killing us. They're deliberately killing us, you know. And
the whole social security system works really well if you die a few years after you turn 65, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And I've said they've refined the art of slavery, John, to the point that the slaves don't know they're slaves.
Definitely. That's definitely true.
How do we do that? I mean, now the whole Talmud and this whole Jewish, these are the money changers that Jesus ran out of the temple. These are the Pharisees that crucified Jesus because he was telling you God is within you, and you don't have to pay the church, and you don't have to pay the preachers, and you don't have to worship the statues. But who do we turn? I mean, if most Christians think of themselves as good Christians because they go to church, but they're being taught in those churches that the Jews are the chosen people, and they're the rulers, and they can't be questioned. So
there's only one question. There's only one place it can happen. And that's inside everybody's mind. And I have theorized that it is our system that is based on a concept of immortality. You get immortality if you follow the rules. But as Bruce Campbell pointed out, the ultimate reward for doing that is to get crucified. And that's the Christian religion. Now, all of these Christians talk all these noble sentiments, but there's no traction in reality. It's like there's no mechanism for Christians to act against their enslavers because their enslavers created Christian dogma to begin with, and it's bulletproof. You can't get the Jews. Let me finish. You can't get the Jews through Christianity. You have to come at them from a different way, and the centerpiece of it is that this all hinges on the approval of the herd. And having the approval of the community before you do anything. But right now, the entire community is blackmailed into believing this lie that they have to...
Why would somebody want to worship the instrument of torture that was that they used to kill Jesus with and a lot of other people? But... why, you know, to me, that's always been the strangest thing. Why would you worship an instrument of torture?
Well, all I can say about that is force. Force has always ruled the world, and religions were constructed to soften the edge of force, to make people believe that bad things that were being done to them were being done for a good reason. And that is...
Christian soldiers, right? Onward, Christian soldiers.
Yeah.
That's why the a lot of the churches are supporting the war, and you got Palin wanting to go bomb Iran now. Come on.
So this has to all take place inside our own heads, inside each individual, and you know what a difficult proposition that is, given the condition of the American population today, given the things that kids are being taught in school that are just totally unconscious lies. But when you realize what they're being taught in school today is lies, I pray that you'll all take a look back at what you got in school and compare that with what Eustace Mullins had to say about the 20th century, and you'll see that we have been fed a line of Jewish BS in all aspects, all our lives, and we have to transcend that if we're ever going to retain any idea about freedom or liberty. We have to see what's controlling us before we can control ourselves. And what is controlling us is this ubiquitous 360-degree Jewish pollution of every discipline known to man, and it's called the profit motive. And the Jews know how to exploit that. They know how to run their Jewish mafia so that their favored people get the biggest pieces of the pie. And right now, the whole planet is collapsing of its own corruption, and the only people who are profiting from that are the Jews.
What is your viewpoint on the Muslim now, Albert Pike, you know, a Mason, master Mason, Moral's Dogma, he predicted the war with the Muslims. That's the Jewish press and the Jewish-controlled tea parties and things like that are pushing us for a war with Iran.
It's so insane. It is so...
The original Muslims got along fine with Christians. You know, what happened to this whole... What's behind this whole Muslim thing? I mean, this part, 90% of it is Jewish propaganda from the mainstream media. Nobody's saying anything good about Palestinians out there.
They control both sides, Clayton, and they've always controlled both sides. And the Muslim religion is strikingly like the Christian religion in that a lot of participants in each are actually secret Jews who are in the organization to destabilize it. That's been the one consistent feature of the Christian religion over time. It keeps calving off new variations of itself, and those are always produced by Jews to increase the intensity of the destabilization process, increase the process of individual alienation, because alienated people are much easier to control than allied people.
Divide and conquer.
Yeah, that's it.
Do we... You know, I've been in this battle for a long time. I started the militias and the Free American because I didn't like the way the press reported on Waco, and I didn't like what I saw happening to American people.
Right.
And... I don't see it getting any better. I don't see it getting any easier. I don't see us making any progress. I mean, yeah. There's a little. I mean, you know, the fact that people are going to the tea parties, I think that's a good thing. Got them out of their easy chair. But they're not understanding. The tea parties aren't telling them anything. The tea parties are telling them not to vote for Ron Paul.
The Tea Party, like the Occupy Wall Street protests, are pressure relief mechanisms that give people a chance to, they're like the old nuclear protests and the peace demonstrations. They give people a chance to blow off steam and think they're really doing something, but they're not really doing anything other than vainly expressing their frustration. Nothing will come of it. In fact, the net public relations result of the Occupy Wall Street protesters is that there was a groundswell of support for police crackdowns on these people because they were interfering with the unconscious population's desire to only continue to seek out its pastimes like Dancing with the Stars or sport. It was interfering with people watching sports. So that's why the general population kind of soured on the Occupy protests. A lot of things have been expressed by a lot of people revealing the flaws of our society and the oppressions and the poisonings that are going on. But what is conspicuously absent in all the debate about everything is Jewish influence on that debate. And I've said over and over again, you can't attack any problem in the world today without first considering the Jewish influence on that problem, because it'll save you at least 50% of your investigative time in getting to the bottom of the problem. It's this Jewish corruption that has entered every aspect of American life and permeated the way we think. And it's turned us into real assholes because we turn our backs on what the government is doing in our name all over the world, killing people from the sky, giving them cancer, poisoning them, poisoning their water. That's a particularly Israeli pastime. They poison the wells. They poison the well of humanity through their own fear, and they've taken that fear and inflicted it on everybody else, made themselves gods in this godless world, and demanded that the rest of the world bow down to them. And you can't bow down to insane people. You have to put them away, and that's what we need to do to the Jews. We need to segregate them from human society.
Well, they would be screaming that he supports Hitler. That's what Hitler tried to do.
Hitler was the good guy.
He did wonders for the German people, and it was the Jews that declared war on the German people before Hitler did anything. Full page ad in New York Times.
You know, as somebody who's come to this late and really appreciated all those really martyrs of people who for years have tried to make us see the real message of World War II, the real message of World War II is that it was three Jewish countries, the United States, Britain, and the Soviet Union, all ganged up on Hitler because he was threatening the Jews' world financial hegemony, which is based in England. England attacked Germany. They sucker punched them in Poland, and England bombed Germany first, and the whole purpose was to get America into the war. They used the same kind of stratagems setting up World War II, notably Pearl Harbor, that the American government used again with 9/11 as a reason to obliterate the entire Muslim world. It's the same shit on a different day.
That's why the thought has occurred to me that the provocation that they need would be a nuclear attack on one or two of their own centers, New York or Jerusalem.
Oh, and all these writers, I'm looking at, it's fun to be able to do a radio interview and look at the screen and see all these other things. I'm looking at Intel Hub now and seeing a Kurt Nimmo story on InfoWars that's about, and all of these websites, all of these writers, all these cool writers, these very skilled writers, cooking up all of these fantastic stories and trying to get ahead in this system. And I'm telling you, it's all for nothing, because this system is not worth getting ahead in. This system is self-destructing, and it's up to each one of us to find a way to help us build a new world. I know that sounds prosaic and ridiculous, but the world is run by spin, and real people can spin it better than these Jewish robot drones are spinning it. We have to make a new world, and that world has to realize the poison that the Judaic philosophy and their manipulation of reality is. It's killing all of us, and we have to do something about it right now because we are out of time.
I wrote novels about this 40 years ago, about this whole police state. And I'm redoing them now. I'm updating them, you know, replacing computers for the IBM Selectric typewriters I wrote about 40 years ago. But I don't want to destroy nothing, you know. I don't want to be at war with nobody. I don't want to destroy nothing. I think our founding fathers set up a pretty good system 200 years ago. And it's been influenced and taken over by the banksters or by the people our own founding father, Benjamin Franklin, warned us about.
Well, we've got, at least a lot of us now, have gotten the basic lessons of the contours of the problem. And the contours of the problem that the American people need to realize is that we've had Jewish manipulation of reality ever since the 1600s when they first got control of England. And they have exported, the Jews are communists, they're the same thing. Communism and Judaism are the same thing. They export revolution wherever they go, and they appeal to people's higher natures. And Christians have been taught to have that higher nature and turn the other cheek. So they have exploited that pre-designed sucker creation in every country of the world, and gotten leaders to say, oh, we have to respect the Jews. Oh, we have to respect the homosexuals. And don't get me started on that, because there's a big scam going there with this whole, the entire Obama administration is homosexuals. Bush the younger was a homosexual. And they've got this blackmail thing going with all of these congressmen who are in the same boat, which has been going on for a long time. So where was I going to go with that? It's like they're under the control of Jewish blackmailers. So we can't appeal to our Congress to do the right thing, because they're simply unable to do it. They have no desire to do it. They're making way too much money. There's fantastic amounts of money change hands. Obama has gotten hundreds of millions of dollars from being president. And it's like they're trying to force us to believe things that are not true, and that's the way they're going to run the world, and we can't let that happen. I personally am not going to let that happen, and everybody has to make that promise to themselves to do the same thing, to be a real person, and not turn off your television. For God's sakes, it's poison.
I used to tell people a long time ago, they don't call it programming for nothing. That's the greatest mind control tool ever invented, and the Jews control it. The Jews control Hollywood. They brag about it. They can brag about it if I say it, I'm an anti-Semite. That's bullshit. You know, I mean, it's the Jews that attacked Edgar Steele, the Jews that attacked the Aryan nations. It was the Jews that planted the people, in these organizations. And you did an article about that. It's the Jews that are calling into these Christian identity shows and stuff like that, pretending to be Christians, pretending to be patriots.
I love it. I've had some great times with you and other radio hosts, because when they take telephone calls, I've been through that experience so many times that the first caller is almost always a Jew pretending to be a non-Jew. And they use first names, and they're from Canada, and they start talking about something germane to the interview that's going on, but they quickly lurch into something else, and it becomes an oration on some pet theme that they have. And the whole purpose of these calls is to take up time so that the guest and the program host can't get their point across. And it's ubiquitous. There are so many people. Here's an interesting comparison. There are so many Jews out there pretending to be non-Jews, but how many non-Jews out there are pretending to be Jews? Well, I guess there are quite a few, because there's all the evangelicals are really pretending to be the junior Jews.
I'm questioning, and I've done this in the novels that I wrote a long time ago. You take the story of Adam and Eve in the Bible, why would God not want you to know the difference between good and evil?
I've spent decades pondering that legend and investigating certain tangents of it. And the best tangent I can come up with is that all of the so-called Elohim in the Old Testament, and this includes Yahweh himself, because he was one of the Elohim, they weren't gods, they weren't extraterrestrials, they were the much larger, taller, and bigger members of an ethnic group that populated the earth before the flood and survived the cataclysm with the comet. and had a rudimentary civilization after theirs was destroyed by going around the world and taking advantage of natives who could not speak, write, or think. And we are the descendants of those natives who regarded those people as gods because they had so many more abilities than the inhabitants they took advantage of. We are the descendants of the inhabitants who saw those people who eventually died out.
I refer to them as Atlanteans in my Lucifer legend novels.
Yeah, you can call them that. You can call them anything, but they weren't gods. They were another species.
Yes,
and
I think the Catholic Church promoted Jesus to God, the status of God, to keep men like you and I from aspiring to be the kind of man he was.
Absolutely right.
And, you know, I've had somebody ask me, well, Clay, you know, how come we never see you in church? I said, well, preacher, does God tell you what to say to your flock? And he said, well, yes. And I said, well, me too. You know, I don't need to go hear your version, you know?
Yes.
But it's, the religions are about control. And why would God tell Abraham to sacrifice his son? Why would God tell people to go out and smash babies' heads against the rocks?
I think, Clayton, I think the parable of Abraham being told to sacrifice his son is exactly the way the Jews are today, is that they will kill their own children for a profit. That's the Bernie Madoff principle.
Yep. That's exactly the so the God that these Jews and possibly a lot of Christians are following is not really a nice guy, perhaps.
Christians are such dupes. I got a letter. I have this fellow up in Canada who's a really solid soldier in the fight against the Holocaust lies, nevertheless is a devout Christian who's always writing me these impassioned letters saying, no, you've got it backwards. You've got to believe in Jesus to really get with the program. Otherwise, everything else you say is okay, but I can't forward what you sent because you didn't believe in Jesus. And that is such a perfect example of why Christians are unreliable allies in the fight against the Jews. They deem their own allegiance to their own particular form of delusion as more important than the welfare of their brothers and sisters.
Well, let me ask you this. Why did the Homeland Security, and this is part of why I did my book, Mystery Babylon. Don't know if you've had a chance to read that yet, but
I've done pieces of it over time. Yes.
I lost my point.
I do that all the time. Anyway, we got to discuss what to do now. All those other years were theorizing. We need plans of action. And when I learned, as I wrote in my last story, when I learned that the drones could be controlled from an iPhone, I just wanted to announce open season on the drones all over the world. Everybody with an iPhone should be trying to take those drones down.
Drones, I mean, I've seen them flying around here, around Tucson. They've got us all set up. All of the laws have been passed. All of the tools are in place to round us up, to put us into these things. And all you got to do is be belligerent against the government. I mean, come on. I get accused of being belligerent ordering a fucking taco, you know?
The situation is incomprehensible. When you just drop back a minute, and instead of pretending to be wild-eyed radicals here, let's just be ordinary people. And we're sitting in our houses and wondering what to do, and we realize we're going to have to pay to stay alive. We're going to have to pay to get the cure for radiation. We're going to have to pay to have clean air and clean water. And if we don't pay, well, we're going to the FEMA camp, and the FEMA camp is a one-way trip. no matter how they do it, I personally think they're just going to give you bad food. And then I like that FEMA camp they have in the Arctic. They're just going to leave people outside, get them into solid blocks, and be able to dispose of them more efficiently.
You know, what happened in the Soviet Union? 60 million Russians killed by this system. And this, you know, I think you're absolutely got it right. The Russians refer to communism as Judaism for the masses.
It is. It is. And people just don't realize it. People are so, they have been so misled from the first moment of first grade. You know, somebody asked me the other day when I first got radicalized, and I told them it was in the first grade. What happened to me on my first day of school was I was just a drifty little kid going to school, and I had this meaningless gold chain that I was twirling, and of course the teacher took it away from me. Somebody could get hurt with it. And she said I could have it back on the last day of school, and I went back on the last day of school, and she looked in the box, and she said, I don't know what happened. It's gone. And that's the end of the story. But ever since then, I've been, my operating principle has been, what is the hidden meaning of this story? And 60 years later, I find that the entire population of the world has reached the point that they're at on total spin. There's been very few interactions with the real environment, and they have been spun into this condition of servitude that they don't even recognize. And that's where the Goethe quote comes in. People who think they are free are really slaves. Slavery has always run the great societies of the world. Greece and Rome depended on slaves to get their profits, and the United States rose to profitability, of course, on the backs of the black slaves picking cotton. Now the slaves are wage slaves, minimum wage slaves, who work in the McDonald's, and their chains are purely mental. And they are palliated by television and other entertainment. You know, one of the great realizations I've had recently, I've been always been a musical kind of guy, although I don't play an instrument and I only sing in the shower. But I've listened to a lot of music over time, and it hit me the other day, I wrote about this, that in half a century of listening to popular music that all of these people swooned over and everybody thought was so cool, there's no social consciousness in any of it. It's all a distraction. There is I'm still waiting for a popular song on the radio that that mentions the Jews. The Poker Face came out with or knew some band that came out with a song about Abe Foxman, which I sent around, which was pretty gross, but I sent it around because Abe Foxman is so disgusting. And he's such a, it's an Abe Foxman kind of world now where everybody is trying to keep up their appearances. And the number one priority of doing that now is not offending the Jews. It's like you can do anything in the world as long as you can get away with it and not offend the Jews. If it doesn't offend the Jews, you can get away with it because you can bribe your way to that point. And this is the condition of the world that we have to dispel and neutralize and vaporize. Otherwise, our lives are for nothing. People go to church and pray to God and looking for meaning. I'm telling you, that's not meaning at all. The meaning is brightening people's lives in a tangible way. The goal is not hurting people. Do no harm. And yet, the number one money-making choice in the world is exploiting other people.
You know, I've written 4 books now and working on a 5th. But and I've been doing this this radio show and making films for years, and it seems that they somehow they've been able to block my ability to reach people over the internet. I've got 4 going on the internet right now. My Free American website with these shows on it is better than my magazine was, but I'm not making any money off of it. Their war against me has been economic. They've closed down businesses that I had sold for $1 million.
Yeah. I've discussed this a number of times with many people, And the fact of the matter is there's no money in the truth. And which leads me to the next step on that mathematical equation is how much money you make may be inversely proportional to the good you're doing in the world. So we all need to look at what we're doing. We may not have much more time to do it. And if we don't do something about the monster that is represented by Obama and a Congress that cheers Netanyahu, you better be prepared to die.
It's exactly what's happening. It's exactly what happened in Russia. Anybody that opposed it was a capable offense in Russia to tell somebody that Lenin was Jewish.
That's right.
Capable, that's not capital offense. That's capable, that means they shoot you in the friggin' head.
Vladimir Ulyanov, I believe I read in an autopsy, was believed to have an undeveloped right hemisphere in his brain, and everything he did was the behavior of a total psychopath. The thing people don't realize, especially the thing well-meaning lefties don't realize, that in the when Lenin first took over, the only thing he wanted to do was kill as many non-Jewish Russians as possible. And he kept saying it over and over again. This is the legacy of the Soviet Union, perhaps the only country in the nation in world history where absolutely nothing good can be said about it, is that all they wanted to do was steal the Russian money and kill the Russian people. And from that has come this neocon monster that now rules the United States. It's the same Angela Davis Ayers type people who follow the dictates of Saul Alinsky to destabilize society. And it is just a public exhibition of this Jewish insanity of wanting to destroy everything that they can't take for themselves. It's really disgusting. It's really the condition of the human race, and we got to do something about it now, or we're not going to be around much longer.
And the, you know, one of the problems I've said we have, John, is how do you fight evil without becoming evil?
These people are all guilty of treason. They need to be shut down in any way possible.
They need to be tried. They need to be hung. They need to be disposed.
We're not going to have any trials. We're not going to have any trials, Clayton, because the judiciary is completely corrupt. It's completely owned by the Jews. There's no chance of getting anything through Congress or the judiciary in their present state. This is a situation where individual people are going to have to deal with individual problems. And there better be enough of us, or we're all going to be rubbed out.
You're basically talking about a civil war. We would have to totally...
we have to do it right now.
Situation.
Shut down every aspect of every government that we can. And, of course, this is going to hurt a lot of people because we have all become parasites. We're all sucking the tit of the system. I get Social Security. Everybody gets something from somewhere, and it's all a mess. It's all corrupt. They've stolen all the money. When they declare the money worthless, you know, millions of people are going to die within a week. It's just the way it is. It's going to be one terrific snafu complicated by all these environmental poisonings. That's why FEMA ordered all those coffins, because people are going to be dropping everywhere. And this year, this is all happening this year.
You know, I did come up with an answer to that, John. It's called Liberty Villages. I figured if you could generate your own power and grow your own food, you really didn't need the government or the banksters for nothing. And if you can defend it with veterans that have been trained and experienced in combat, then you've got a better than average chance of surviving. But to try to get people to work together... Wow, I can't work with Clay. He's an anti-Semite. He's a racist, don't you know?
Got to get beyond all of that. There's no... Anybody with a brain is an anti-Semite. Because when you see what they control, when you fully realize the impact they've had on your life, you will, if you're smart enough to do it, and most people aren't, but when you do, you will be horrified. That's why I say now, that there's only two kinds of people in the world, the desperate and the unconscious. If we are going to do anything, we have to do it now. These people are killing us. Lots of people are lost, but there needs to be an instant revolt right now. The presidential election is not going to do it. That's a sideshow. There's too much poison that has been deployed. There's the radiation situation is just the most horrible thing that's ever happened to the American people, where they're being killed and they're not allowed to access information about their being killed. The radioactive crap has come ashore in British Columbia. People, the cancer rates on the West Coast are sky high, much higher than they ever were. And soon we're all going to be sick and not able to fight. So the fight has to take place right now. And you have to do it in any way that you can. You have to get it straight inside your head that you either believe. If you believe the lie, you're going to your own premature death.
It's why they sprayed us with Agent Orange in Vietnam. It's why they exposed us, our troops, to depleted uranium in Iraq and Iran. They not only did you kill the Iraqis, you kill your own soldiers.
Yeah. Yeah, they like doing that. They get a kick out of that, especially on Purim.
Yes. What can we do? I mean, I've got the Free American here. Here's a side that has been established for 20 years. What can we do? What direction can we go in? If I can't even sell a book that's got the whole history of the Rothschilds and why the Homeland Security suddenly came down on Christian identity, oh, we can't have the white people thinking they're the chosen race. Oh, my God, we can't have that.
Maybe one of the things people could do is read the Bill of Rights and realize they don't have any of that anymore. If you, the First Amendment to the Constitution guarantees freedom of speech, and Obama just passed a law, just signed a law on New Year's Eve that says we don't have freedom of speech. Okay, he's violated his oath of office. That's the least of his crimes. And he needs to be arrested for treason along with thousands of other people. Now, that's not going to happen. They're not going to do that on their own accord. We have to force them to do that, and everybody has to do that. And the only thing that can do that is the weight of 200 million people coming down on them and saying, no, we don't believe your lies. We don't trust you. You must go. And we need to devise a way for a provisional government to arrest all those people and try them for treason and then execute them.
Well, I just did a story. I just interviewed people who did the story in Oklahoma City, and that's what Oklahoma City was about. They killed 19 little children there.
Yep.
To try to demonize the militia that ADL gives me credit for starting.
That was the... I wouldn't trumpet that too loudly, Clayton. What was I going to say about Oklahoma City? Oh, yes, Oklahoma City. The epitaph of Oklahoma City is, oh, yes, that was the building that was exploded outwards from a bomb that was on the outside of the building, violating the laws of physics any third grader would know.
Yes. And, oh, the militia must have done it, because Timothy McVeigh, oh, you mean the guy that was still in the Army when he was executed? Yeah, that guy, yeah. His employer was the U.S. Army, folks, not the U.S. militia, not the unorganized militia. The militia is the American people, and this, what John's talking about is that every able-bodied male between the ages of 18 and 45, or if you're older than that, and you can still kick a 24-year-old's ass, man, you know, you can hang out with us.
If we don't do this
ourselves, who's going to do it?
It's between the ages of 6 and 93.
Okay. I like that explanation better, but I'm not sure that's in the... In the U.S. Code, the other one is.
The U.S. Code is dead. All of that stuff is dead. It's gone. Disabuse yourself that the U.S. of A. still exists. It's a, I think it's a Department of Blackwater now.
I think so. John Kaminsky, thank you for being with me. And
Thank you, Clayton.
All right. God bless you all. All the John's sites are linked up on mine, and you just need to do that, folks. Make a donation. Make a donation. Buy a book. Order some books. You can get them on by email. You can get it for $20. You can be reading it tonight. Read the and Mystery Babylon is basically a history. If you want to know what the future is going to be like, get my fiction, Trevor Cameron, Terrorist Hunter. John, see ya.
Thanks again, Clayton. Thanks for
call
being
call recording there. Has been completed.
Thank you.
Well, I was suitably boisterous.
Yeah, hang on a second here.